In Sudan, there are renewed calls for a ceasefire after a similar proposed truce collapsed yesterday and while two generals battle each other over control of the country. The death toll is almost 300, and that number will surely grow. Half the hospitals in the capital of Khartoum are out of service. Countries are scrambling to evacuate their citizens as the situation escalates, but the capital's international airport has now been hit by airstrikes as well. That's really hampering rescue efforts. Left behind in all of this are Sudanese civilians, and many are now dependent on the few remaining NGOs in the country. One of those NGOs is Chorus International, a Baltimore-based organization focused on sanitation and water access in countries in crisis around the globe. And their Sudan director is Sarah Moussa Al-Sayed. She joins us from Khartoum, the capital. And Sarah, we're astonished you're able to speak with us, so thank you. And can you first just describe what it's like in Khartoum right now?
I wish I could say there is something new happening, but for the last 5 days, it has been the same over and over. Bombardment is now our life for the last 5 days. The same, what we sleep on, we wake up on, which is like, you know, all the shooting, and people are locked into their houses. So it is just a difficult situation, and I really can't find words to explain it more than this. You're just locked in your house and you just hear what is happening outside.
Terrible. Well, and why would hospitals be closed? I mean, there are many reasons, but do you know why the hospitals are closed, as has been reported, half of them?
It is multiple reasons. One is even staff, you know, are having difficulty reaching. The hospitals coming, going to their, you know, normal rounds because of security situation, as well as hospitals have been as well attacked. Then the last reason, I think, is unavailability of essential material that is needed, especially in circumstances like this, when there is a lot of injuries. And if you have as simple as cotton, for example, for wound to treat your patients, that is another reason. And the hospitals are out of business because of that.
Oh, terrible. So staff afraid to go in. Even if you run out of something like cotton, you can't function in a hospital. What are you going to treat wounds with? And attacks on hospitals, we also understand some, in some cases, perhaps being used by different military as bases. But you and your staff have to be concerned for your lives. How are you doing your work? I mean, what is your work and how do you hope to do it?
Well, at the time being, as I said, we all are working from home, which is not the best way of, for a humanitarian community to work. A lot of hibernation because of staff safety and security, especially those who are in difficult location, like with heavy attacks and bombardments and all that. And business is kind of like on hold. The other thing as well is supplies. And if you want to transport things at the time being, it is kind of difficult. And to be honest with you, some NGOs are even considering, you know, evacuation of staff from some places for the same reason.
Well, what are you thinking? I mean, I can't imagine you work so closely with these people. May I ask, where are you from? Is this your home as well as your work?
Yes, it is my home. I'm Sudanese, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if an organization wants to bring you out for your own safety, how difficult would that be for you to leave your people? You know, what position does that put you in?
No, I'm not considering that. I will never leave my country in such circumstances. That will be difficult to do. Plus, one have family, you know, friends and colleagues, and you can't just leave them. So we will be holding the fort, as we say here. But I understand, you know, if you can't do your work, if your safety and security are at stake, we understand that as well.
Yeah. So you aren't going to leave, but you understand why others, if they can, might, if they can't do their work and they're not safe. What are you hearing from average civilians? What is the feeling there as this plays out?
They are frightened, very much so. You don't feel like it is your war in a way. If, like, it is an attack from an outside country, you can understand. But, like, internal fight like this, I don't want to take sides, and I don't have sides in this. My side is just Sudanese people and the country well-being. And I think negotiation is the best way. Sudan has been through many conflicts like this since the south of Sudan. I was born to this war in the south of Sudan. And at the end of the day, it didn't end by fighting or someone winning. it happened over negotiation and cessation of dear part to all of us, yeah. which is South of Sudan. Long wars in the country have never ended because one party won. It is always by negotiation. So why going the long route, killing, destruction? So I can't see a point in this war anyway.
Yeah. Well, Sarah Moussa El-Sayed, again with Chorus International, and we'll hook people up to your organization at hearnow.org. She is the Sudan Program Director for that NGO, and she's in Khartoum in the middle of this war. Thank you, Sarah, so much, and please be safe.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.